All right, everybody, welcome to the CCHA show, Mason Cup edition. We are getting ready for the first round of the playoffs, and joining me on today's program is the traveling man, Jared Rebato, popping in for a busy day here, looks like, Jared, but you're taking some time for the CCHA program.
Absolutely. It's a fun week for some CCHA hockey.
As is the case, we are also joined by Trent Singer from Sioux Falls Live. Of course, Jared from Bemidji Pioneer, the Bemidji Pioneer. Trent Singer from Sioux Falls Live also joins us here. Also busy today, but still making time for us.
Yeah, happy to be here. Always good to be on and bring the reporter's corner to the CCHA show.
That's right. Or was it the reporter's corner born from the CCHA show? No one will know. All right, let's start off. Yeah, let's start out last week with the Tommies moving themselves into the top four. They beat Michigan Tech 4-3, and then 2-1. Jared, what do we take from this? We kind of saw the Tommies coming for much of the second half. The question was, would they have enough time, right? Would they run out of time at the end of the season to make up enough ground? Turns out they did. Just barely, right? Because any kind of falter here in the final weekend probably means they are not hosting if the, you know, Tech could have mustered a split. But as is the case, they are in. Also some help from Lake State to jump all the way to third. But what do you think about the Tommies' run here?
Yeah. You know, if you're a St. Thomas fan, I think everything has kind of gone your way the last two or three weekends, right? I mean, not only with, like, the sweep of Northern a few weekends ago, but, like, Bemidji State taking 5 out of 6 from Bowling Green, and then Michigan Tech splitting with Ferris State, and everything kind of just – the pieces around you are also falling in your direction when the pieces in front of you are falling in your direction as well. Like, that's just the momentum St. Thomas is on. And, you know, you look at what they've done since that Lindenwood series to start the second half. They're, what, 12-3-1? You know, I think it's hilarious that Jake Seibel couldn't get a win to save his life, and now he hasn't lost since November. I mean, it's what a turnaround. I mean, just what a turnaround. And, you know, I think I said it a few weeks ago, but, you know, if there was one team I didn't want to play, or if I'm a coach in this league and I didn't want to play any team, it was Ferris State. But it also applies to St. Thomas. I mean, who in their right mind right now wants to go play that team and the way that they're cooking and how much firepower they have? I mean, you know, I think St. Thomas is playing the best hockey in the CCHA right this second. And they really pinned Michigan Tech back on its heels. I don't think Michigan Tech even played that poorly on Friday night. They had a few defensive breakdowns and they just couldn't score. They struggled finishing and they struggled generating consistent chances, but it wasn't like the worst game we've seen out of Michigan Tech this year. And St. Thomas shut them out for 40 or 56 minutes and nearly, you know, three extra attacker goals made that game look a lot closer than it was. And then the next night, St. Michigan Tech didn't have its best game, and St. Thomas cruised through that 6-point sweep. So, they're the team that I think nobody should want to see on the other side of the ice right now. And Ferris State just – is another one of those teams, which is what makes their first round series so intriguing, but I'm sure we'll get to that a little bit later.
Trent, what do you think about the Tommies? And also Tech, who just missed out on home ice and will actually be going to Bowling Green. We'll get to, obviously, the matchups there in a little bit.
To piggyback a little bit off of what Jared said, though, I think they're figuring something out, too, with Jake Seibel being in the net, and that's really... I think it's a good thing to have going into the playoffs. And so I really like the way Seibel's been playing back there. He played outstanding this weekend. This St. Thomas team's clicking. And I think we talked about it over the last couple months. You know, if they're able to to play more discipline, clean up the penalties, and we're seeing that, we're seeing a lot of that lately. You know, this is a team that can win, and they're giving them a giving themselves a chance every night by staying out of the box. So, I mean, yeah, you know, it's really not that hard of a formula for them. They took so many dumb penalties in the first half, and like we just said, all they got to do is stay out of the box. They have the firepower to do this. And now you're starting to see the goaltending complement that a little bit. Yeah, I really like the St. Thomas team. I mean, if you're Tech, I really think like the way Tech battled in this series. They were down big time Friday, made that a game. It's a 2-0 game for most of Saturday. They end up getting a goal, kind of making that one interesting. And then, you know, Jack Works is back in the lineup, which I thought was nice to see. I just – the questions about them and Net are I think, the big ones going into the playoffs, because they haven't really shown a ton of consistency here in the last, like, month and a half from either Ryan Manzella or Derek Mulahey. You know, that's a new problem for them. They went into the playoffs last year and didn't have any questions about who the guy was. And the year before that, and so – this is a little bit of a different scenario for them going into the playoffs with a little bit of a question there. And I'm interested to see kind of how that shakes out.
I got one more. Back to Jake Seibel, too. I mean, they are the one team in this league that truly feels like it has a 1A and a 1B. And it kind of rotates between Seibel and Trotter, right? I mean, it's been that way for the past 2 years. But I think Seibel has a higher ceiling than the two of them, but the lower floor, like, that's the contrasting style. Is I think Trotter is I think you kind of know what you're going to get more, and that's, you're going to get like that above average. He's never going to let in like the soft one, but I don't know how many times Trotter is going to steal that save for you. And Seibel, at least from my perspective, steals more of those saves. And when he is on, like, that is the best iteration of St. Thomas goaltending, is when Jake Seibel is playing at the level he's at right now. And that brings St. Thomas to a different level. And, you know, if he's able to keep that up through the post, like through this first round of the postseason, watch out. Like, that's, if you get the Jake Seibel that's making 57 saves in Bowling Green, like, this is, this tournament, right, might run through Mendota Heights, because that's, I mean, I don't know how you beat St. Thomas when you have that behind what you already have in front of you with the momentum they have right now.
Well, they are the 3 seed, so
right,
it's gonna be tough to run completely through there, barring things happening in Mankato and
yeah, it was just a phrase, Perry.
Oh, I see. Okay, you weren't being literal.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is a literal hockey show. So please keep it. Trent. The Bulldogs sweeping Northern here. Well, they got 4 of 6. Kind of a wild game on Saturday, but 5-1 on Friday. Bulldogs win, and then 4-4. They scored 2 goals in the last minute and change on Saturday to take a 4-3 lead. But then Northern scores with 6 seconds left, or a little under that, to tie it. And then there was a shootout that seemed like it would never end, finally ended by the Wildcats. So 4 points for Ferris State, which is just enough to leapfrog Bemidji State, who got swept. But we'll get to that in a second. Ferris State playing pretty good hockey. They're obviously going to St. Thomas, as we'll talk about. But it's great to see, right, on Bob Daniels' final home weekend. They don't really lose. They win and tie for all intents and purposes here.
There may or may not have been a group chat of CCHA experts that were watching the results from that Saturday game with bated breath. it was a wild game. That was a crazy finish.
I think experts is a stretch, but go on.
Oh no, experts.
Yeah.
And who's to say? There may or may not have been. There, that Saturday game though was pretty crazy. It was down, I think they're down 3-2. Jared had lost all hope. The Dogs were down, and I think there was like, what, 3 minutes left? And then Ferris State gets a goal. No, 1 minute left, I think. They scored with like a minute just left.
One minute change, yeah.
Yeah. They scored. There was 3 combined goals in the final 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Really, minute plus.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it was a wild game for a game that didn't really have all, you know, like they're what, 60, probably like 63rd, 60 in the pairwise, like they're right
there.
That was
a boring game for about 58 minutes.
Yeah, it got wild at the end. And there was a lot of implications, though, just because if Ferris won it, it was going to bump them up to take the tiebreaker or at least get a point. All they had to do was get a point.
Yeah, going into the game, Bemidji had a 1-point lead essentially over both Ferris and Lake State.
And credit to Northern for just showing some fight too, though. I think that's really cool to see from them. I mean, I know it's a tie, but it's on the road and it's a good little punctuation to the end of the season. Like, don't forget we're here and they're going to be back next year. And so, I mean, you know, Ryan Ouellette, hey, we get one more chance to talk about him. He was a lot of fun this series too. He made some outstanding saves both nights. I was pretty impressed, with Northern just showing a little fight there at the end in a series really that Ferris needed, you know, and they get the big win Friday, which was nice to see for them. You know, the offense got going, Noah West, you know, that's a Ferris team that looks like it's, you know, ready to go here as the playoffs kind of get closer. And, we've seen a little bit of them, you know, just the last couple weeks kind of coming into form. And, you know, they honored Bob Saturday too. There might have been a little bit of juice for him there as well. They honored Bob and the whole staff, really. I mean, Famulac and everybody. I thought it was a fun one. It ended really, really fun. And now they'll take this into the playoffs, see what they can build on with it.
Yeah, they have to keep honoring Bob. Cole Birch and Caden Gault and Gavin Best and obviously Shouty on the blue line. They have a number of guys that have kind of really kind of stepped up this year. Jared, obviously, when they get the goaltending, they can be a tough out, right? Last year we've seen them go into Bowling Green and win on the road in the last few years. You know, St. Thomas knows all about last year when they fell in a 3-game set to Lake Superior State. So I'm sure that was obviously a different St. Thomas team, but certainly that those things are in the cards potentially here. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this Ferris
State team. Not to get too far ahead, sorry.
No, yeah, this Ferris State team was like a minute away from taking a 1-0 lead over Bemidji State in the Mason Cup playoffs last year. That Bemidji State team who hadn't lost in like a month and a half. So, yeah, I mean, it's even last year, which they had a much worse season comparatively than they had this year. They still had a team that was capable of winning one of those games. And now the pieces seem to kind of fit together a little bit better than they did a year ago. And it's that same. Drawing St. Thomas is tough. It's almost like, you know, I don't know if they would have really had a preference between St. Thomas or Augustana or Minnesota State, right? But if we're just going by the hottest of those three teams, it really does feel like it's St. Thomas, and that's a little bit of a tough draw to get as, you know, the sixth seed who you probably don't want to be playing the team that's actually playing their best hockey. But when you kind of have, like, just the mojo that you have going with you of it being Bob's last year, you know, it feels like there's some finality to this season, and I think when you kind of feel that finality, it pushes you just a little bit harder than maybe it would have, you know, before, especially, you know, the finality for seniors trying to extend their careers or make a last impression on what pro program they're going to play for. Right. I mean, there's finality for both teams. Right. But it's just kicked up an extra notch with Bob Daniels retiring after this year. But no, I mean, that Saturday game was a where were you moment in college hockey for me. Where were you when the Northern Michigan Wildcats went to Ferris State for the Bob Daniels send-off game on Friday, March 1st? Like, that's where were you? I had the best time watching that game. The most ridiculous shootout, too.
Yeah.
I was at a jazz club.
Hey, there you go. But still watching.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jared, Lake Superior State and Bowling Green here. The Lakers win 4-3 to put a lot of pressure, really, on the Saturday game, which Bowling Green eventually, well, I won't say ran away with because they were up 5-1, and then Lake State came storming back themselves. 5-3 was the final on Saturday, but Falcons get it done. They're hosting, which is obviously the goal every year. But you know, good to see, because you get a new coach in there in Coach Williams, and he's able to get the job done. Yeah, you know, it wasn't the prettiest throughout the season, but I think they have to be happy overall with the body of work, right?
Yeah, and for Bowling Green, I mean, it wasn't really the greatest end of the season for them. You know, you have a chance to kind of find a little redemption after a bad home series going to Bemidji, and you get 1 out of 6 points, and then you go home, you're playing, you know, I guess not the last place, but the team tied for 7th place, and you drop Friday night's game in a game where you were the better team. You had 2 goals kind of taken off the board on reviews, and it just kind of felt like nothing is going Bowling Green's way, and home ice was going to kind of slip, right? I mean, that's what it felt like for Bowling Green going into Saturdays.
Certainly.
This whole lead they had built up came down to one game, and you know, goals weren't coming easy to start either. It didn't, you know, they didn't score until midway through the second period. So, good for Bowling Green to, you know, obviously lock up home ice, but just to get a win to feel a little bit better about yourself going into the playoffs. I mean, that's huge. And for Lake State, is Connor Milburn going to play next weekend? Because without Connor Milburn, that I don't see the path for. You know, 2 road wins in Mankato against a goalie who did not give up more than 3 goals in CCHA play in a single game, obviously. So not in total. That'd be
good clarification there. Yeah.
That'd be ridiculous. for Lake State, I guess maybe you just try and take that end of the third period there and use it as a little bit of momentum going into Mankato next weekend, but that's a tall task they have in front of them.
Yeah, well, don't jump ahead too far. Trent, what do you think about the Lakers and Falcons here?
Yeah, I mean, BG, I got to start with them. Their formula's been the same, and they're the, I think, the highest shooting team in the conference, and their shot volume was up big time in this series too. They ended up with 84 combined shots in both games, and you know, Brody Waters gets a couple goals. He gets another power play goal. I think it's a good little stepping stone for Bowling Green. I think they played well throughout this series. You know, they're chasing a little bit on Friday. But at the same time, it was a pretty even game, and they outplayed them for like long stretches in that game too. They outshot them 42-22 on Friday and end up losing 4-3. You know, for Lake State, like, you got a road win, and that's a good thing to carry in as you're going to be going into this series. But, you know, I'm just really kind of looking at Bowling Green because they were able to do enough to get that home ice. And that now it sets up a series against Tech that's a, you know, super intriguing one too in the first round. But I like the fact that they you know, are able to bounce back and get that win Saturday. Made it interesting at the end. Lake State made a little push. There was like a point in the first period. I don't know what happened. Maybe you saw it, Perry, but like it was early on in this game and it was a long stoppage. It's like they were looking at something and it's like, I don't think anybody in the broadcast really even knew what was going on and didn't get any clarification, but it was about 15 minutes of the refs just like talking with coaches, going back to the monitor, talking with both coaches, going back to them. Like, it was like, I don't know what happened. Did you catch that?
I know there was some issues with lineups and what numbers players were in the line chart this week. So
I was wondering what was going on. I didn't catch it. Didn't catch what it was.
Yeah, we've taken steps to rectify that going forward. So,
okay.
Yeah, it was just a matter of the wrong number was put on the lineup chart, and then that wasn't the player who was actually in the lineup, but that wasn't confirmed pregame. So yeah, there was some issue there.
Gotcha.
But yeah, steps have been taken. I've never seen that in my 20 plus years of covering college hockey, or working in college hockey, et cetera. So yeah, very odd, but anyway, that was a little bit interesting, but right. The Lakers do score 7 goals in the weekend. So they're not,
Yeah,
I mean, they're never really, they don't seem to be out of a game ever because they have the firepower. But
yeah, and but that, you know, on the other side, like what they have coming up is going to be tough because your chances are so much more limited against this Minnesota State team. So, but it is good for them to get a little offense to carry into this, and that's good confidence. I just think they've got to kind of go into this thing with a clean slate mentality.
Yeah, Jared, the Beavers took a shootout win on Friday. It seems like a long time ago. And then they fell on Saturday 5-1. What was your takeaway from this Bemidji State Minnesota State series?
Huge series.
Yeah, well, a lot on the line. Yeah, no. I mean, it's hard to explain, like, the vibes going into it were like, yeah, home ice is still on the table, but everybody knew home ice was not on the table. And it did feel like it felt like it changed the vibe a little bit too, with I think Bemidji State's peak being sixth going into Saturday. Scholl had a quick leash on him for, you know, I don't know if he got pulled for performance issues or if it was like, look, we're down 4-0. Let's just get you out of here, not risk any injury going into next weekend, kind of a thing. Eric Martin didn't play. He took a shootout attempt the night before. I don't know if he got hurt on a shootout attempt, but, you know, was he held out for precautionary things? Same with, like, you know, Tracy not playing, Josh Grohl not playing for Minnesota State, right? Like, yeah. It was two teams on Saturday kind of maybe trying to play that game with bubble wrap, you know, and just, hey, nobody do anything stupid going into playoffs. Friday night did feel like kind of a playoff game, though, and I came away from that game, you know, Minnesota State has so many guys you can talk about, but there's a player that I don't think has received the flowers that he deserves this year, and it's Campbell Psychos. This kid, wow, watching the way that he sees the ice was so clear against Bemidji State this weekend. I mean, he moves the puck so crisp and so pointed, and I wonder what, like, Luke Strand would have to say about, like, how players like Campbell Psychos and, you know, how important they are to the whole machine and how the whole machine operates. Because while guys like Evan Murr and Rhett Pitlick and Josh Grohl, like, they have the points to kind of back up their billing, it's guys that I see like Campbell Psychos and even fourth liners like a Jacob Stender that when you watch them play, they're never doing the wrong thing. And sometimes it's hard to notice them, but if you notice them, it's because they did the wrong thing. And, you know, Campbell Psycho stuck out big this weekend. And, you know, it feels like Minnesota State has those players that even kind of lie underneath the surface that are still so effective that make them such a tough team to play against. And, but from the Bemidji State side of it, big 2 points, I guess, they picked up on Friday so they could get that 7 and not have to go back to Mankato. Noah Quinn, what a resurgence he's had this year. He was not really a part of that run Bemidji State made last year. He wasn't really a freshman getting a whole lot of playing time. He was a healthy scratch in most of those games. And he started to consistently find ice time, you know, middle of this year. And he's been an incredible fit on Bemidji State's third line with Casper Magnuson and Jackson Judding. And I'll have a whole Noah Quinn story coming out this week just until he gets that tying goal. And then, you know, Mr. Heartbreaker, Jackson Judding, you know, I think Dan Myers tweeted, he's like, every single game against Mankato, he scores. So I thought that was pretty funny. So,
Trent, anything on this series before we take a break here?
Well, yeah, you know, sort of to piggyback off that, Eli Pulver got to play on Saturday. It's the first time we've seen a goalie outside of Alex Tracy in the net for Minnesota State. And he didn't have to do a whole lot. He had 23 saves. You know, he looked good.
Got an assist.
Did he get an assist too?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
On the empty net goal.
Yeah, so he gets a little involved on the score sheet. I mean, but this is what Minnesota State's kind of done all season. Alex Tracy's made some big saves when he's needed to, and they've been just few and far between. They're so good defensively. I think that we're starting to see them come to form on the blue line a little bit too. And guys like Campbell Sykos have been brought up in post game interviews with Coach Strand, and Evan Murr is playing very well defensively this season. He's an offensive minded guy, but he's added a defensive element to his game. And then obviously, you know, you've got Luke Ashton back there too. They've got pieces.
Bergmanis too.
Yeah. Ralph Bergmanis is another guy. And I like the way that team is built from top to bottom. Even in a series where, Saturday they rest a lot of guys. They dominated Bemidji State, and that just goes to show you their depth, beyond what is out there night in and night out. I'm sure they played some guys who have been non-dressers for a while this season, and they were able to step right in and get the job done. So really like the way Minnesota State's playing going into the playoffs. We can't say enough about this team right now, and I think they're really rolling at the right time.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to take a quick break and come back and preview the Mason Cup quarterfinals here on the CCHA show.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move.
Jake Gensel.
Banks it towards the goalie. Score.
Kale McCarr. Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness gracious me!
Visit collegehockeyinc.com and follow at College Hockey.
All right, everybody, back here on the CCHA show, Perry with Jared and Trent. Four best of three series begin this weekend, all at 7 o'clock local time. We'll start with the first game of the weekend, and Trent gets to talk about Bowling Green hosting Michigan Tech here. And what kind of stands out to you? They only met twice this season previously, so not a ton of familiarity this time around. But what do you think about this one, Trent?
I think they mirror each other in a lot of ways. They're comparable on both sides, and it's not a coincidence that this is the 4-5 series by any means. I mean, I think this is going three games. I have yet to decide who I think will win it. I probably need to just flip a coin at some point. I just think that, neither of these teams are particularly hot going into this thing either, which bodes well, I think, for both of them. You know, you're not catching a team that's too, playing too good for whatever reason, but I think, for on Bowling Green's side, you could start there. They've got a pretty good offense. They're much improved from, I think, what we saw a year ago, and then really the year before that. The shot volume's there. I like the way they play. I think they play a certain style too under Coach Williams, and you see it a lot on the ice. You see just, they swallow teams up in the offensive zone. I think they're fantastic on the forecheck. Watching them this weekend, I think they create a lot of their shot opportunities from that forecheck, and then having a blue line that is able to kind of quarterback the offense. And so if it comes down to which goalie is able to kind of put it together and maybe steal a game and then set yourself up for a game where maybe you play a little better. I like Bowling Green in that sense, just because Christian Stover has been really solid all season. I will say, Jack Works is back. That's a really good thing to see for Michigan Tech. That Matthew Campbell's been back. I think that they've got some pieces back in place. If you look at all the skaters on the ice, Chase Pietola is right up there among the best in this series. I think it's going to be a three-game series with maybe each game being decided by a goal. Like, it's just that tight for me. This Michigan Tech team has shown the ability to to really, really fight back to when they are down and have their backs against the wall. They have the playoff experience. You know, this is, they're a year removed from winning this tournament. So they have the pedigree. I think this is going to be a really fun one. And, you know, it's going to be in Bowling Green, which adds an element as well. I know that certainly helps. They're going to have a great crowd on hand. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a really good one.
Bowling Green, you know, for the first time in a while, right, has the goalie advantage when facing Tech. And Christian Stover's got a sub, yeah, 2 goals against, .940 save percentage. Do want to point out also, Jared, that this was the matchup last year in Houghton. Mm-hmm. Bowling Green, Tech winning 5-0 and then 6-5 in the Saturday game to hold
on. That was
a
wild
advance. But yeah, it was all one goal games from then on out, right, for their run to the McNaughton Cup. They won 4-3 against Minnesota State in the semis, and then they beat Bemidji State 2-1 on the road. So I guess it's still all there for Tech, but it's certainly a different team, a lot younger team than it was last year. And they go into a tough environment in the slate.
Yeah. excuse me. I think this year, like, I echo a lot of the same points Trent made. I want to talk about Bowling Green's goaltending for a second, because Bowling Green comes to Bemidji and Christian Stover didn't make the trip, still battling whatever injury it was that he was trying to get through. And Cole Moore played both those games and he was outstanding. The only reason Bowling Green got a point out of that series was Cole Moore on Saturday night, over 30 saves, and looked like the Cole Moore that we saw last year. They go back home this weekend. It's Christian Stover in net, and he was solid, but he wasn't the Christian Stover that was showing up in January. And I was almost a little curious why Cole Moore didn't play one of those games, just to get them both a game going into the postseason. It looks like Stover's going to play that first night. If he isn't at that, you know, kind of goalie of the year level, do they go back to Cole Moore? That's the question I have. And is that, you know, maybe is there some trepidation in that decision too, that because Cole Moore wouldn't have played in 2 weeks? And so that's something I want to keep an eye on, is what does Bowling Green do in goal with kind of their embarrassment of riches they have in goal? I mean, neither is a bad option, right? We're talking about two of the better, more talented goaltenders in this league. That's something to keep an eye on. Trent, for your predictions thing, I had Bowling Green winning, and I'm going to actually send you a new one, because I'm going to go with Michigan Tech.
I don't think you're allowed to change it, though, Drew.
Well, too bad.
The games haven't started yet.
Too bad. I will change it myself. I know how to get into your set.
That's rude.
Bowling Green is one of the most penalized teams in this league, and Michigan Tech's power play is one of the best power plays in this league. And Bowling Green's got a 790 penalty kill in CCHA games this year. Michigan Tech's power play, I just had it pulled up, is 26.2% is where they're converting at on their power play. Knowing how Bowling Green plays and how much they love to kind of toe that line on that physicality, and how it's kind of pinned them in some tough spots, and knowing just how good that top unit is on Michigan Tech's power play, that to me feels like the difference in this series. And my big take is, I think three of the four road teams win on Friday night. I think Michigan Tech wins Friday night and then closes it out on Sunday in Bowling Green.
Oh, so you don't mean series, you just mean on Friday.
Yeah, they just win the game Friday and then close it out.
I mean, that's a step closer to winning the whole thing, but we'll get to that later on. Yeah, very interesting series there for the 4-5. We'll be obviously watching. That's the one that starts before everybody else, so everyone would probably have their eyes on it for a little while, even if they're watching the other games on Friday. Moving on to 3-6. Jared, St. Thomas and Ferris State. The Tommies, we talked about how hot these two teams were, but what's going to be a key, I guess, for each of them being successful here, you think?
I don't know. For St. Thomas, it's obviously sticking to what's working, right? Like, they stopped taking so many major penalties. They started getting scoring from three, sometimes even four lines. In a different way from last year, they got back to the consistency in goal. Like, that's been St. Thomas this entire second half. And if they even deviate from it at all, it feels like a bad idea, because this version of St. Thomas was the version that I think everybody voted to finish first in the league, or up first or second in the league. For Ferris State, I think it just comes down to having to take advantage of the opportunities you get, and you need Noah West. You know, it's when you have to play the toughest team in the league, it's really a challenge. But Ferris State has a lot of things going their way, and to highlight one person that's really stuck out lately, it's been Trevor Tallien defensively. He's a big kid. And I don't know how big he actually is, but he's a kid, when you watch him, he plays even bigger than his size, and he still plays with a ton of speed. And he's been so impressive for Ferris State this whole second half. And, you know, you need players like that to step up. Obviously, Caden Galt has to stay hot. Gavin Best has to stay hot. Travis Schouty needs to chip in offensively on the blue line. Like, Ferris State has a formula that they use to win, and they have to kind of stick to that formula as well. But for Ferris State to win this series, they're going to need some guys to step up and have a big weekend that maybe weren't having the standout season that, you know, a weekend like that would suspect, I guess. So I think Ferris State, again, wins the first night, takes the first game at St. Thomas Ice Arena, but I think the Tommies win in three.
Trent, what do you think about this one? Anything think can surprise some people, maybe? Or do we think the Tommies kind of get back to where they thought they should have been last year, right, in advancing out of this round?
Yeah,
from home ice.
I'm getting a couple predictions in already, and I think I have maybe one or two people who have picked Ferris to win this, which is really surprising. I think the series is a little bit more even than people are giving it credit. It wouldn't surprise me at all if this went three games. You know, when Ferris State is going, I think that they've shown that they can hang with anybody in this league. Like, when they put it all together, it's a really interesting team. Noah West, I think, is the big difference for them. It's not much different than what it was kind of last year going into the playoffs. You had Logan Stein. And if Noah West can steal a game or two, like, you know, then, you know, obviously he's the difference maker. I think for St. Thomas, this is suddenly the second highest scoring team in the conference. And it's, the margins are really small right there, but at the same time, they're right up at the top. And, you know, it's probably more like a, you know, top and bottom kind of thing. Northern drags it down a little bit. They're the lowest scoring team in the conference, but St. Thomas is number two, and they have, you know, their firepower at the top of their lineup is as good as anybody's in this league. And if they're going, I think that's the difference maker for the Tommies. I really like them this series. I just think that they're playing, you know, their best hockey at this point in the season. Like we said earlier, 12 of their last 16, they've won. And so, yeah, them being at home, I like that factor for them as well. You know, I don't know that there's so much of a huge arena advantage in being at St. Thomas Ice Arena, but you get to sleep in your own bed, and that makes a difference. Sure. So I like the Tommies in this series personally, but I'm not sure if I've decided whether or not it goes three games or not. Is more the bigger thing. It very well could. So I have to sit down and kind of look at that a little bit more too.
All right. We have about 7-ish minutes each for the next two series. So that's going to be tough on these two, I know. But Augustana is hosting Bemidji State. We'll start with Trent. These are two teams both of you guys cover. So hopefully you can be somewhat succinct in your analysis here. Trent, go ahead. Augustana home. They haven't played in a couple weeks, but they are the most rested team in the league, for better or for worse. We've heard coaches' thoughts on these, but what do you think coming in?
I think the thing that intrigues me the most about this series is this is an opponent that Augustana knows. They know the Beavs pretty well. You know, obviously being NSIC foes, they battle it out on the hardwood, they battle it out on the football field, and now I, you know, the people of Sioux Falls are really going to get a chance to
see. And on the baseball field this weekend in Sioux Falls.
And yep, and on the baseball field. I don't know that it'll be. I don't know that it's going to be too much of a battle, Jared. God, no. But it will be a battle, regardless. Chuck. But you know, like I said, though, I think it's going to be an awesome environment at Midco. Just the fact that people know the Beavers, and I fully expect it to be just a raucous crowd all three nights. Augustana is getting the week off. I think it's going to help him a lot. We'll see what it does to help him, but I really do think that that's going to be a benefit for them. I think they do well when they're able to just kind of focus on themselves and key in on what they can do to really improve internally. They're going to get some scouting in on Bemidji State this week, I know, but ultimately, you know, what you're seeing is doesn't vary a lot from team to team. I like Augustana's depth. All the pieces that are there are still there, and it's nothing's changed. Josh Kotai is going to be there. I like this series going to three games, though. I don't see Bemidji State, you know, getting swept in this
one. I think they're too hot to get swept.
The way they've been playing lately, I think they figured some stuff out. I think they forced this to three games, but I do like the Vikings to win it. And, I just think that they have so many pieces in place right now. When you just look at the lineup, when you look at what they have in net with Josh Kotai, and we, you know, I could talk circles around those two points, but that's ultimately, I think, what puts Augustana over the hump here.
Jared.
Yeah. Man, am I excited to see what Midco is going to look like on Friday night. I saw the energy, what it was like in a November weekend series during football season, during a football season that was USF Augustana, which usually draws people away from other venues. And it was still a raucous atmosphere. Midco is going to be bumping, and that's going to be really, really fun for that community. And, for the loyal hockey people of Sioux Falls to get playoff hockey at home. It can't be understated how big this weekend is for Augustana. And to be honest, that's why I'm picking Bemidji State. I think it goes three. I don't see a world where either of these teams sweep. I think they're too close. But where I look at Augustana and what's going to be tough for them this weekend is kind of battling Bemidji State's experience and experience of playing and winning playoff games. It's a group that for the most part has been to two Mason Cup finals. They know what it's like to get out of these series. They know what it's like to go on the road to win playoff games. And it's a group that doesn't really seem very daunted in a lot of these situations. You know, you look at what they did when they went up to North Dakota and when they went down to Minnesota and over to, you know, to Duluth. And Augustana, you can absolutely say the same thing. They write, like, you say the exact same thing. You don't go on the road to Colorado College and sweep if you're not. But I look at one series this year where Augustana had just a little bit more on the line, and that was against Minnesota State. And it was more of a struggle for them. And when you play under that different kind of pressure, it can just be a little tough. And sometimes you just need that experience too. So that's a big area of that I want to look at this weekend. Another one is the matchup of Bemidji State's power play versus Augustana's penalty kill. Augustana's power play is fine. Bemidji State's penalty kill is whatever. But we're looking at one of the best power plays in Bemidji State and one of the best penalty kills in Augustana. And, depending on how many penalties they take, that could be where this game is decided. Augustana's in-league penalty kill is 84.6%, and I think Bemidji's at like a 24% power play. That's a huge, and that kind of area, you know, margin right there could decide which team is going to establish that strength first. And then, it'll be a fun one. Back to what Trent was saying, I'll make this brief, Perry, but, you know, when we were watching Ferris State Northern, I wanted, you know, the only time I've allowed myself to dip into the what does Jared want scenario was this weekend.
The only time?
The only time. I don't believe that. Yeah, only time. And
I don't believe that.
But no,
Jared's very selfless, and this is the only time.
So selfless, so humble. Yeah, all the above. And Yeah, no, I wanted to be there for Augustana's first playoff game. Like, that's fair. There when it was it. Not a hockey school. Like, I was there was five kids in the school that had skates when I was there, and so this is cool. I'm very excited to, you know, see a lot of hard work come to fruition this weekend with their first home playoff series.
I just wanted to piggyback off that. To me, it's just the coolest part of this is Augustana hosting its first game and it being Bemidji State.
Yeah.
No better team to bring in fans than a team that everybody knows.
Good point.
You know, Augustana fans don't like the Beavs. Beavs fans don't like Augustana. That's just how this works. It's worked like this across, you know, every sport already in both universities. And now, I mean, you really get a chance to build a little bit of a budding rivalry between these two schools on the ice.
And part two, and again, Perry, I will make this quick, but the...
You're not making it quick. Go ahead.
Like, when Sioux Falls is such a huge hockey community, too, and it's like pulling fans over from that USHL fan base for the Stampede, it takes games and weekends like this with stakes involved. Like, you're going to create and establish new fans that are going to follow your program forever from weekends like this. Like, that's how this, it can't be understated just how important and exciting this weekend is for Sioux Falls and everything that comes with this short term and long term.
Absolutely. No, it should be exciting. We're looking at the crowds of these games. It should all be pretty, you know, really solid. You know, St. Thomas does have a limiting factor there, but it should be full. And I think all these games should be plenty of great atmosphere for playoff hockey. 3 minutes each on Minnesota State and Lake Superior State. Jared, go ahead.
Sweet. Minnesota State. Yeah, I don't see a way Lake State picks up a game here. I think they keep it really close Friday night, and then Minnesota State just kind of puts their foot on the gas and takes care of business. I've said enough about you know, all the things I like about Minnesota State. For Lake State to win this series, you need to find secondary scoring, like, right now. Minnesota State's going to find a way to shut down your top line, probably your top six. You need guys that maybe don't have the exaggerated scoring numbers to find them this weekend. And Rourke Appleby, best of luck. You're going to see a lot of shots, but he's capable. He's stolen a ton of games this year. And when Lake State was one of the best teams in this league and sitting in first place, Rourke Appleby was a big part of that. So it's got to be Rourke Appleby. It's got to be a big night for the third and fourth lines on Lake State. But I think Minnesota State gets it done in two.
Yeah. Lakers do have a pretty veteran blue line. They do have some, you know, the Timo Backoses of the world that can score, and they've been, you know, scoring recently, but it's going to be a challenge for sure. Trent?
You know, collectively, Lake State, they need to embrace a true reset if they want to have a chance in the series. Like, you have to look at this as a brand new season. It starts now. You know, they finished the first half of the regular season in fourth place and now find themselves in eighth place. Like, that's how bad this second half stretch has been for them. And, you know, it's tough. I mean, they had some tough series in the second half, and I thought they were competitive in a lot of games. They probably should have won one of them in Augustana. The Vikings ended up stealing one. But, you know, now it's a chance for you to truly embrace a reset and just kind of start from scratch. And if they're able to do that, they can make this interesting. You know, the big question is whether or not Minnesota State will allow them to do that, because I think Minnesota State is top to bottom clearly the best team in this conference. The question is which team is going to be able to upend them. And right now there's only one team that gets a chance to do that, and that's Lake State. So, if you're Lake State, it's like, you got to take that upon yourselves to maybe be the team to play spoiler. If Rourke Appleby's able to steal a game too, this makes things super interesting. You know, what's really interesting to me, if Lake State wins on Friday, I expect an absolute, like, bounce back game like you've never seen from Minnesota State on Saturday. And then once you know you get there, then I'm, you know, it's hard to you know, say whether or not Lake State is able to replicate replicate that. So I like Minnesota State sweeping the series as well. Just like they're too good from top to bottom, and I think we'll see that this weekend.
Let's just have every single series go three games. Who's in?
Last year we had one, right?
In the last 2 years, go three. I think.
We got to make up good for luck lost to you, time.
Yeah,
we make up for lost time. Every series goes three, and we get four extra hockey games this year.
Wow, what a time! All right, that'll do it for the show. Before we get out of here, quick plugs here, Jared. What do you got?
Read the Bemidji Pioneer. Read Sioux Falls Live. Listen to Reporters Corner.
Wow, that's succinct, Trent.
I have a story on the Stampede that I put out today. Third place in the U show, already clinched playoffs. So, that's a fun one. Other than that, I will have predictions coming out tomorrow, Wednesday. I don't know if this is probably dropped tomorrow, right?
Maybe today. Tomorrow. Yep.
Yeah, I'll have predictions from a bunch of people around the league. So I'll have that, Jared included. And then I'll also have my Augustana Hockey Notebook, which has pretty much everything you need going into the series against Bemidji. So check that out. Also read Jared's stuff at BemidjiPioneer.com and check out the Reporters Corner this week. We got Caleb Bergang from Ferris State. So,
all right. Very cool. CCHA.com/MasonCup will have all of the info on watching, following the series, plus all the clippings. If these guys write anything about the CCHA Mason Cup playoffs, those will be linked on that page as well. So everything written about covering will be accessible there. So check that out, ccha.com/MasonCup. That'll do it for the CCHA show. Thanks for listening.